It's the size of a wiffle ball. Yeah, it's a wiffle ball. It's that size. paddle is about twice the size of a ping pong paddle. But really a lot of fun. One of the things that I had to talk to Jason about, but I hope we can do, is we can help you get some transportation from the Portland Community Center when we have our seniors there and bring them up to Perrysburg to play our pickleball and learn how to play. Great exercise, a lot of fun. Everyone there that day really had a good time, and I'm really excited to get down into that county. And that's a good, inexpensive recreational sport for the Conway City. The Rotary, the co-ed, Blueback County High School Rotary Grant Clubs, helped out at March and Exodus season with a painting party on Saturday. Got some donated supplies from Rose, and Colin Champ Williams and Rudy and Captain Garcia helped coordinate that from the adult side, and then all of these young men participated. But it saved about $2,400 in cost of wages for the county on painting. Now, there's still a lot of small painting there to do, but it's a great start. Got some nice accent colors in there. Once you get the trim down, it's going to look pretty great. So, another good job by those folks. And this is what they look like. And you can see some of the new accent colors in here and the new white doors on the auditorium. And kids didn't get too much paint splashed at themselves. They had a great time doing it. Really appreciate the help. They were there for about $5,000. Another project, the Boy Scout troops from the area, a bunch of Scout troops came in and did some work at the Pleasant Grove Park on some benches, and we got about 110 man/scout hours out of it, and another cost of work was about $2,400 of work that we would have had to do based on the volunteer wages. And this is what they did, is they prepared and made these kinds of benches. This is an existing one there in the park, but then they manufactured these other ones and put them together to go and get into the park and have some seating areas all the way around. So really, that was a great community project by the Scouts. Good savings for the county. And then, not so good news, Beardus. I loathe to even talk about maintenance because this has been a difficult time all along. You know and you've heard before that we cannot implement personal property this year because the Beardus module will not handle 2 times a year billing for personal property. What I didn't really quite understand, I'm not 10,000% sold on this, but I know it's a difficult thing trying to use 2 different systems to process both personal property and real property. So the Commissioner of Revenue's Office and the Treasurer's Office certainly are pushing for a delay to implement both of them at the same time in January of 2014. Potentially a 6-month delay from the original timeline, but I don't know enough about the work inside the Treasurer's Office to know whether it's I think it's technically doable, but you have to manage two types of cash flows and 2 systems through paying the bills, and then a citizen also has to write 2 different checks because they have to go to 2 different routes. That's a potentially big problem. And I don't think we need to make our systems more complex. It's not going to cost us anymore, although we still have some maintenance to maintain, but the training won't cost us anymore because it's the same cost as the original sum cost for training and implementation. So with the Brickville trepidation and not really happy about it, I really think there's probably no other good way to do it other than delay the Munis real property along with the Munis personal property. Well, it had to be personal property because it's software to handle it. And again, I don't understand enough inside the Treasurer's Office, but this is one person explained to me, and my client staff and I've gone through it. You could drive to it and force it, but I don't really think in this case it's the right thing to do. And because it's not a huge cost difference for the county, it's not going to be a big cost for it all of a sudden. I don't really see a lot of options in this.
Any disagree? No. Can you work with working?
Well, that's when they'll train and implement it, and it'll be finally closed up, or be closed up right after the June 5th building in 2014. And I met with Mr. Headley and Ms. Leitner and Ms. Commissioner Leitner and Mr. Sheridan and all that staff. Anyway.
Great.
For the supervisor, we're planning 2-on-2 budget reviews. Because there was a bunch of participation from the supervisor's conduct, departmental budget reviews that I did with the finance staff. On the front side, before I present my county administrator's budget on February 6th, the next meeting. The week before that, week of January 28th, I will send out times to all of you, and anytime we can make an interview, I'm like two of you come in at a time, or one at a time, it's fine. If you come in three at a time, you can't talk. But if you come in two at a time, then you can sit down with Barbara and I, and certainly Eric and all, and go through the county administrator's budget, kind of line by line, so you have a hard copy in your hand to walk through with your budget book. Before, so you can look through it, we can do it before the following, and so we can answer questions, and if we need to make adjustments, but we can some oversight, we'll certainly do that too. So, not next week, but the week after, we'll be sending out the notifications to you. We'll plan on having lots of slots open, and we'll get you in, and we'll need work meetings, with the children, morning, evening, afternoon, whatever it takes. Mary Ann asked you, Mary, we were putting the board and Mrs. Scholl, our assistant in the office, prepared a package for you that talks about board vacancies and upcoming vacancies. The good thing about this, this shows the next 6 months. It shows what vacancies are coming open on board, it shows what current vacancies are, and there's also a list on there of personnel that have put in requests for various kinds of candidacies on different board commissions. So please look through that. Find out, talk to some folks if you think it's appropriate. If you want to follow up with someone, or if you want to follow up with someone on their interest on various boards and commissions, please take a look at that. Any questions, refer back to Mary in our office. We'd be glad to answer them. But this will help you prepare for the vacancies that come up. Many of them, of course, in June, when we do kind of do an annual turnover. But some of you is planning to have some vacancies now. So that's a walk away for you to get to use. I know that most of you got some emails sometime this week, today, I guess, about the trash pickup along Highway 250. We're calling Mr. Stevens worked closely with those folks. They also work at the Central Virginia Regional Jail because they come out and do trash pickup along a couple times a year. So he's going to be advised you up there to take a look at the areas and make sure that we know what we do, when's the last time we've done, what the schedule is, and what the citizens know what's going on. Some of the things that are probably financial, but in general, with your life, response and do a good job making sure we have the areas that we can cover up. We do get money from the companies that are up there into the cost each year, essentially a profit for their business to help feed the trash pickup equipment. So that's useful. We use that to pay the debt in time when we ran out of prisoners from the Central Virginia Regional Jail. Department of Water produces, I talked about the down, we've completed all those with all the agencies and department heads, and this is more author than I, and she's all working, they're working hard on it. Lots of them are challenging the wrong things to do. They're putting the budget together. Friday we're going to work all day on budget again, and we'll have it set for our budget to be used the following week, in preceding the actual presentation of county administrator's budget. First, you'll see some, a little bit about that tonight, about the fuel card, we'll talk a little bit about it, but there will be any finals with our legal office, and there will be a new set of person speakers coming to you for a meeting, and we'll do the discipline, we'll expand from the way we do business, and talk to the updates on the process on integrated access equipment and access to material and content. We'll talk about water infrastructure tonight, we'll talk about some of the meetings, and the emergency services coordinator, we've had 42 of 44 candidates so far, 10 of which we've kind of picked out to look at, those that have reviewed by the Fire Rescue Association leaders and myself and the Sheriff's Office and the Department of Communication. We've got 7 interviews lined up for next week and the week after, and so I'm pretty sure that we'll have a selection out of that group of 7 sometime in the next two or 3 weeks.
Just out of curiosity, this is 42 or 43
calls? So 10 that I was interested that were reasonably qualified. The other 30 or so, we kind of rejected on initial entry. Some just didn't have the skill set, or some that were kind of spam resumes coming in off of monster jobs and things like that. But anyway, so there'll be, we're going to be interviewing 7 candidates. Any questions I can answer for the board?
Questions to the county administrator?
One comment. The potential personnel tomorrow, the civil advisors are out there, so we layer the day for us, even over towards the coast and through Richmond and certainly the valley. There's some snow advisors popping up now from various sources. And then you set on another one. And so just be careful on the roads tomorrow. We'll certainly be ready if we need to salt and sand around the buildings. So Public Works is going to help with that. But be careful with the road coming. And we're central Virginia now, it's time.
Questions to the county administrator? Thank you, Mr. Nichols. Moving on to first round of public comments. Again, please remember to address your comments to the board, keep them on topic, and keep them within 5 minutes. Sheriff Marshall.
Evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Mine is kind of a public comment from the standpoint of recognition. Many of you have already heard and been following our Citizens Law Enforcement Academy that we provided for any citizen that wanted to participate in the fall of last year. And it started in October and we ended up in December. And we had 20 students to successfully complete the class. They went through it with 10 weeks of training of one night a week for 2 to 2.5 hours, 3 in some cases when I talked, of lecturing and asking of questions and answering questions. And so I'm very proud of them. The subject matters were diverse and they all were topics pertaining to areas of law enforcement and how we do law enforcement and how we do it here in Florida. And so the topics were everything from use of deadly force to laws of arrest, search and seizure, terrorism, school safety, the budget, all anything you can think of that pertains to the operation of a public safety office pertaining to law enforcement, they were exposed to it. Now, certainly there were many classes and topics that they wanted to spend half the night on, but we just couldn't get around to doing it because we had so many interesting students in the class. But many of them here tonight, not all of them, it was 20 as I said in the class, but they successfully completed it. They were a good group. We had a good, broad, diverse group of citizens representing all parts of the county, which I was well pleased to see their interest in participating in the class. For those that did not give the opportunity to participate, we've shown so much interest from people already asking, make sure you don't forget to get me in for the next one. We will be doing another one this coming fall, so look out for more information as it approaches in the fall. But they are here, and I would like to recognize some of them that are here tonight. And they got the shirts on for you. So if they could just stand so that your elected officials can see who you are. And just because if you stand, everybody that could stand that was in the class, well, I see. Thank you. And if you have questions, I'm quite sure somebody in that class can probably answer it. But I would like to actually assist me in recognizing them. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your service. Much appreciated. Very good. Very good. Does anybody else wish to address the board?
My name is Lynn Gardner. I represent the county on the Piedmont, Virginia Community College Board. Last year, the county failed to pay its dues to this important organization. I realize that you as individuals probably get no benefit from the community college, but I can assure you that there's a large number of citizens here in the county who do get a great deal of benefit out of the, being a part of the organization that's called the Piedmont Virginia Community College. They get this benefit in terms of greatly reduced tuition for a college education. And coming up now in this new year, we expect there will be a program where children will be have available to them a 2-year college education with a degree at the same time that they get their high school diploma. So as you can see, there's a great deal of saving available to the parents here in Fluvanna, as well as the other counties, that's available to them as a result of our belonging to this very important organization. You're considering your budget now, and I ask you to reconsider rejoining this organization by paying your dues, paying our dues to this organization. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Garland. Anyone else wish to address the board? Seeing none, go ahead. It was the first round of public comment and move on to the public hearing.
Good evening. The Virginia Code requires that we have a public hearing for any budget amendment which exceeds 1% of total expenditures in our currently adopted budget. So tonight we're proposing a budget amendment that would increase the budget by $77,600,000. And what this is it's really reflecting what actually happened throughout the refinancings. It's not funds that we ever actually put our hands on, but we issued some bonds, and that was the revenue side of it, and we used that to put into escrow to pay off bonds. The refunded debt that will no longer be on the balance sheet is the $55 million of the Series 2008, the 2.7 revenue note, and the 1.9 revenue bond, which are replaced with the $66 million BPSA Series 2012B and the 3.9 million BPS Series 2012. Things I would have to get that number for you, Mr. Weaver, and I can bring that to the next meeting.
Chairman, members of the board, this motion would provide an opportunity for the county to expand opportunities for music and stage productions in the county. Currently, our Performing Arts Center is the primary location for performing arts and music, and that season runs from October to May. Having an outdoor theater would give us an opportunity to expand our music and stage opportunities and perhaps do a music series and other venues, give a permanent venue for activities that are held at Old Farm Day as well as BBQ. No, that's not right. Barbecue bands and the BBBs. I don't get it right any time I try and say it. Yeah, that's it. Fogs my memory instantly. The proposed location of the amphitheater, which is what we'll need in order to expand this venue, is north and east of the Pleasant Grove House. You received the diagram. This is a conceptual drawing that was done a couple years ago. It may or may not remain in that hollow. It might move closer to the parking lot that we need to make those design decisions, but this is essentially the concept that we're addressing, where there would be seating that surrounds, bench seating that surrounds the stage, and then grass seating farther up on the hill. It's expected that we construct this in stages, where the stage would be approximately the same size as the Carysbrook stage now, and initial seating would be for 120 with grass seating on the hill, with an expectation of expanding the stage to include a roof and a shed at the back, which would allow for places to change or storing of sets, with a projected capacity, seated capacity of being up to 570, with still having grass seating on the hill. This first stage would be to build the flat stage and seating for 140, which is that diagram. This has been developed in-house by our Public Works Director, Mr. Stevens. This project is in the CIP. It's been in the CIP for a while. Through the discussions that's coming forward to the board, the recommendation is to construct this in FY14. Hence, we're putting forward a request to pursue grant funding at this time. This application is due February 1st. Funds are available through BAMA twice a year. The next round would be August 1st, so you'd be several months into the fiscal year if we were to wait further. It's being put forward now because this is the first shot in developing a funding plan to construct the project. I will note that I did not include a dollar amount in the motion. And so what I would propose is that we seek authorization to fund up to $60,000 for the full first phase and see where we go from there. Would not be my recommendation. Yeah. Ever.
Yeah, would not work. Well, yeah.
This is phase one, and it's only two phases, right? And then the next phase is the top and the other phase.
I suspect that this will be fluid. For example, in terms of what the phases will be, the minimum first phase is the stage on footers that will accommodate later weight, with stormwater and seating for 140. That's sort of like the baseline. It depends on how quickly we're able to secure additional funding and at what levels. The BAMA Works Fund typically awards around 10,000, but they've been known to award more. In addition to that, this fund is administered by the Charlottesville Area Community Foundation, which also has a number of donor advised funds. So it could be that a particular donor may have an interest in this that would add to the limit that the BAMA fund typically would fund. We could do that. So the finance...
We could stop there.
It depends on how we develop the part of our office. If it ends up being successful, you want to expand, and then you can add things.
Yeah, it's good to put the full vision out so that if someone is taken by it, that they're at liberty to fully invest in it. And if not, we may be able to do it in stages.
What are your prospects in getting that grant accepted? I think you said in February the first one, and then 6 months later.
Oh no, we would have to apply either in February or later in the year, but not more than twice in 1 year.
Do you think your chances are pretty good of getting maybe the minimum 10,000? I'm curious what our prospects are.
CACF has experience with this. We've received BAMA fund grants in the past that have been administered properly, so, and they've been satisfied with the outcome. This fund funded the concession stand down at Carysbrook. We secured computer equipment for the library, I think, and we also received funds from CACF for the summer kitchen at Pleasant Grove. So they have experience with us. They know we're reliable. They know we do what we say we're going to do with the money. So from a reputation standpoint, that adds to the likelihood. If I had a crystal ball, then I wouldn't put it forward if I didn't think we had a good chance at it. It fits with the criteria, but I can't speak for the reviewers. We'll have to find out.
This is a good reputation with lots of grantors, lots of agencies, and helps us a lot. That's impressive.
And this fits the criteria for.
Sure.
Yeah, it's always good to try and find a round peg to fit in the round hole, not
a square peg.
Yes, sir. Are there other questions?
Any other questions?
I know that the board is the next thing. I move to approve the mention of the Alma Work Fund grant application to expand opportunities for music and stage production to Pleasant Grove
as a matter of practice, our application will not exceed $60,000.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Moving on to that, I have appointed to the Planning Commission for the Columbia District. I review two applicants. Mr. Zimmer certainly meets the bar, but the chairman cannot make a motion.
I move to appoint Mr. Zimmer to the Planning Commission for the Columbia District for the term to begin immediately and terminate June 30, 2014, replacing Mrs. Ensley.
Motion made by Mr. Ellenbrock, seconded by Mr. Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to acknowledge formally that the office of technology is intended to serve on the Planning Commission. I work with her on the Planning Commission as well, and she really did know and work taught me a lot, and I really appreciate her work on that effort. And she can't be able to do both of them, so.
Her presence is certainly missed, so question about it. Moving on to the presentations,
Tab G, Library Board of Trustees, Cindy Hoffman. The clicker. Okay. Our current Board of Trustees is. We have our members listed on the left and then the districts that they're from. And in going over the boards and commissions, we discovered that we have a slight, in the Fluvanna County Code, it says that the board is 7 members chosen from the citizens at large. So our action plan is to continue just to change everybody to all at large and still in parentheses designate which district they're voted from. But that has to go to you guys. So is that fair?
Simple elegant solution.
That was easy.
Any comments or questions from the board?
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Moving on to the consent agenda, is there any item that needs to be pulled?
I don't have any problem with any of the four that you have here, but I would like to hear a report on that fuel card. I'll say it. Let's probably know a little bit of what we're doing and trying to bring about accountability.
The fuel card program is part of the state motor fuel program. So the state has gone out and got contracts to help local governments and state agencies buy fuel at a discounted price. And there will be cards issued. The cards will be specific to vehicles instead of people. And you will have to put in a PIN and an odometer reading when you go to get gas. The cards can be used just about anywhere, about 90% of retail places. And so no matter, you know, as long as you can use the card there, you will be getting the contract price on that day. The sheriff is going to participate also, and he's excited about this, and the county fleet. So we right now have about 61 cards ready to go. They can be used out of state. Real advantage, of course, well, two advantages we see are the control factors with and not being tied to a person but to a car, and also the prices. And the prices vary, but most days will be about 40 cents less than retail price. So that's without state and federal taxes, and then also at a discount. So there's just an example up there where if you had gone from November 1st to the 15th to the school pump versus the fuel card versus just going out to the retail and paying full retail price. And we just think this will be a good alternative for, especially when they're not near the school pump or the school pump is inconvenient, or they're out of the county, at the far-reaching corners of the county. And we also believe it will bring a lot of accountability. And we're hoping to talk to the schools because they also have great prices on bulk fuel, which is what the school says. So.
What do you think
of that,
say, over the year?
If you say 5% on our total fuel, and we you know, always save the same amount, it would be probably close to $3,500-$4,000 a year.
That's been an issue in the past about accountability.
Yes, and I think this is really important.
And if we do ball pricing, because ball pricing is lower than the middle one that we see there, and if we meet existing prices, we'll show all of them. So, this is one part example of the useful study in person option. Any other questions, Council of the Board?
James Cake, Mr. Jimenez, the fuel cart policy, the space window application on Mr. Babbitt, and the space application on Jerome Cabar.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. Chesser. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Moving on, we have no items for account payable. We do have unfinished business. Water update, Aqua Virginia, and the Department of Corrections as follows.
Several different folks, as you know, over the past several months about on the water issue. I'm not going to take up too much of your time. I just want to dive in and give you kind of an update of where we are and where we've kind of been. Let's see, which one is it that does that? It's Steve. Which one moves that thing? Thank you. On the Aqua PPA, we're going to be holding a meeting with them on January 24th. We're looking to further discuss that proposal. We've had some discussions with them about one of the placeholders they had in the contract, which was a requirement of 127,000 gallons per day that was originally proposed and part of the cost for that contract. However, we've been able to talk to them about that, and we need to renegotiate that. One of the things that is part of that, what they have come back to us was, is that, however, they have some water quality issues they want to address, and they think that they need to turn over about 90,000 gallons per day or 90,000 gallons per day in that system in order to keep it the water viable. So we're going to have some discussions about that on the 24th. And discussing the cost and possible design changes to that proposal so that we can make sure that we're getting the best bang for our buck on that proposal. And finally, we'll also talk about the contract and how that final contract will look when it goes before the board on that 24th meeting. So, it's 1 p.m. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's 1 p.m. at Mr. Nichols' office. Manager from the Northern Service Area for DOC. We've had some negotiation delays because of a permitting issue that DOC has. Where DOC water plant is rated by the Health Department for a maximum of 250,000 gallons per day, but their withdrawal permit and their O&M manual shows that they have a withdrawal of 400,000 per day. So DOC's been working with VDH to reconcile that discrepancy, and so is that we'll get an update, hopefully a few more updates on the options available for the van out through DOC at that meeting. So,
yes,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, typo.
Okay, yeah, it is on the 22nd. I'm sorry. Yes, Mr. Yeah, that's right. That is correct. Apologize for the session. Issue that we've been working with. We've been working with the owners of the Kerry Brooks wells over at the old Thomasville plant. We've had a little trouble finding an engineering firm or a firm that can do an assessment and appraisal for that site because it's a difficult situation. They're trying to get some, they're trying to give us the facility, and that type of facility isn't readily a commercial practice. So we did find an engineering firm that we're now getting some pricing from, and a well assessment and the site appraisal combined. And when we get that cost analysis, we'll be returning to the board to see if that cost is in compliance with the board's expectations for performance of work. finally, in your new budget request in the CIP budget, Public Works Department has requested two hydrological studies for the fiscal year budget request 14. One of them is a detailed hydro study for the Fork Union area for the placement of an additional well. As you know, that Fork Union is pretty much working at a maximum capacity, and we're looking to possibly remedy that situation in the Fork Union area. The other one is a phase one hydro study for the Palmyra and Zion Crossroads area, just trying to be prepared of where we might be able to find groundwater sources in the future so that we're ahead of the game, so to speak. I know that we have some surface water options out there, but certainly the groundwater, so if it's ends up being viable to pull water out of the ground, it's also cheaper to treat. So, and with that, I will entertain any questions from the board.
Questions from the board? Sir, of course, the government somebody offering the
I'd like to get through the first part of this. And then maybe we can. Sure.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Okay, we have 30 items to do business with.
and do others.
Equalization by law has to be identified as we have done here.
attorney of state law and our attorney can verify this as well. But you say that, in my opinion, the way I've heard the state law say it is that you can't raise my taxes through a reassessment. You can raise my taxes, you can lower my taxes, but you can't raise my taxes through the assessment alone. And so,
that's not good.
Reduce, so you decrease that from the value of all the property now And so we have a reduced property amount that we apply a tax rate to. This, essentially, this is not deductible. So here's this figure.
So I think those two in dollars, in tax, but L is the amount. This is tax in dollars.
Well, $224,000 in the middle on that we overestimated tax revenue because we didn't decrease the value of property by enough because of the tax relief for the elderly. So let's say you've got $1,000 worth of property, but $250 worth of that property is for a disabled veteran. So now you've got $750 of taxable property. Oh, by the way, when you do that, you have to apply the rates for those, the tax rates, where you take that dollar by dollar, now you're only at $750 for which is tax. And so let's say $750, 10%, $75 in tax revenue. But if you said, oh, by the way, the whole 1,000, 10% of that is $100, we said we were going to get $100 in revenue. That's what this says right here. We thought we were going to get $18,739,870 revenue based on that taxable value.
So we were, I'm trying to remember, we were given a projection to the Commission of Revenue of how much less we were going to get for the elderly. That's what I was getting back to. And my recollection, it was much, much smaller because I questioned that issue and stakeholders.
I recall the same thing. All I know is that the figure that was provided to the finance office was this figure. Did not include production. Therefore,
in my opinion, we're going to match up.
Right. Therefore, revenue is overstated by $224,000.
And just to be absolutely clear, the taxpayers did not lose out in this equation at all. They were billed back.
They were billed the right after, right? And all that. It's just
the numbers was based on numbers.
So we're thinking we had $100. But we're only getting $75.
So your budget numbers that the supervisors were relying on
were not accurate. Next line, real estate public utilities. This one is a state mandated one. This is a state change, and although I think we have been reporting and reporting this throughout the year on a more regular basis, I've heard of this, but I'm not sure if they're presenting the board formally. Should be any kind of change. But I think you have heard, I think Mr. Sheridan has informed the board sometime, that the State Prohibition Commission revalued public utilities and other things. And so therefore it decreased the value of that public utility property, and therefore it decreased the revenue when you approved. That's just a mandate that happens through the year that you can't do anything about. So this 231 law is a decrease in revenue. This is now that the state told us they're doing that year, but this is even though it's after the budget. Adopted. And the 231 I marked in green just because it was no change or no problem from the locality came from the state.
But historically, again, the utility, we had increased the revenue with the exception, I think, of one year. We got that, and he explained what was in the last month what we were. So what we're saying is we did not get these new
this valuation. This 533 was what was put in the budget.
Right.
It was actually going to be 495, therefore decreases the revenue coming.
Right. Yeah.
So we should have known about that sooner than we had that.
I'm not so sure.
I don't think he gets the values until September after the budget's already been set in the April or May.
I agree with that, and that's true. It doesn't come in the fall. But that's when action should have been taken by the board to revise the budget to correct programs to reflect that. Personal property, my car. This is what was programmed into the budget. This is what the actuals are. And the reason for the big delta is that all along the machinery tools were incorrectly included in the personal property. Problem that is, they were taxed substantially dramatically different rate. Mobile homes were bus taxed at $59.81, machinery tools were taxed at $2 per home. And so they got taxed in
without this, and there's a different rate on there, it's down $117,000. Personal property mobile home, we pulled these out now, showed them separately because they were shown separately before, and not the not 57 rate, it's actually 5981 rate. $610 was we were counting for here now rather than a month higher, $4.15 for our $5981. Then the personal property machinery tools, again, pulling that out, applying it to the actual dollar value, $2 rate per hundred, $261. But again, these are offsetting the $117,000. And then the last of the personal property control utilities, which Sherry had informed me at one time that that was changing, and that there was actually some changes in that line from the state. And the public utilities got some benefits and changes through the year, but one thing that we believe is that this number was originally included in that one there, in the 583, mm-hmm. in the 583, and of course should not have been. And needed to be down here at a much higher rate because it would actually accrue $41,000 additional. But in that total of all these things, the $530,509, over estimation of tax revenue to build the fiscal equivalent budget using the 5981 tax rate.
I guess going short is that all that good news we heard 2 weeks ago is
not good news. Well, we're lucky. Lucky is the number of users. We're lucky that it happened this fiscal year. We happen to have a fine structure. We've got bonds refinanced. So we should have $1 million just this year alone.
Well, and some of the public utilities shortfall will recover because in when you set a new tax rate, if it's anything above the current tax rate, their values didn't decrease because their values are set by the State Corporation Commission. So we will get more on the public utilities. We'll have some gain.
Yeah, whatever new tax rate you set for fiscal 14 actually applies on the June 5th bill because it starts this January right now. It's retroactive. So that new tax rate will apply to public utilities real property and therefore will have increased revenue from that. It won't be $531, but it will be a bigger chunk. I just don't know it, and I will calculate that, but it really depends. We'll calculate based on the EWAS tax rate.
What's a penny? It was $2.40.
$2.30?
$2.60.
We don't have that number with us, but we can let you know next time.
Well, by the end of the year, $2.01,
looking into that budget. On the equalized budget, we're at by 14, 13, we're at 2 cents now.
Well, two apples and oranges because we're going to
the same budget, which would be 2 cents now.
Well, I don't think it's going to be 2 cents down by the end of the year, but it won't be 2 cents down because you're going to recover a significant amount from real property public utilities. And therefore, that dollar value will be applied in this fiscal year because it's collected in this fiscal year.
Right. Public utilities and property will be valued by the state this year.
Yes, but remember, that's the $495 right here, $495 million. But we'll be fine if it's 981 tax rate.
I understand.
Could recommend to the board. Obviously, concerned we can get very mild for it. What I would like is for the board supervisors to request from the Commissioner of Revenue perhaps an explanation as to precisely what went wrong and what corrective actions being taken. This is happening again. Would there be any concern with that?
That's the
request at this stage.
I know it depends on what you put in, but when the limit system wants to get set and going, would it help in any way? I know it's not going to do any more than to put in, doesn't help at all.
The reason I say it doesn't help is because the problem is not on the budget side, the problem is not on the building and collection side of the treasurer's office. It's the figures that come out of, there's three parts of public revenue. Somebody assesses, somebody sets rates and budgets and finance, and somebody bills and collects. And the system that's used in the Commissioner of Revenue's office, the camera system is where the dollar values and assessment values go in. That electronic EX goes to the treasurer's office. That's what's on. And the correct numbers transferred over, and the numbers given to the finance department are the numbers. The point here, let me show you this. You have to do this calculation completely, every step down through there, and then use that bottom number 6 and bottom number. And I can assure you that this is well authored on, and our staff will be validating and checking the numbers and doing math against it. We've had lots of meetings in the last 4 days or 5 days. But
that's what you have
to do. It is what it is.
Michael's getting that brass tax, so this
is going to
require a
general fund. Yes, but unless you change spending, unless you stop spending something, or unless you approve additional revenue or additional taxes in the year, at least half, maybe a little more than half, by the time you get to the end of the year.
Yeah, I would say about half. Let's look at the public utilities.
Remember, those are going to be assessed at the higher rate, whatever you set this spring. Whatever it is, I shouldn't say this, but I doubt it will be 5981. I'm assuming it'll be something different than that. If it's something different than that, and it's higher, that applies to that $495 million in property. Those collections accrue in this fiscal year because they come in June 5th, or before June 5th. So you will mitigate some of that 531 with the additional increase in public utility revenue.
So that recommendation to the board for the general fund expenditure would come presumably after the budget?
During the budget season, as we get closer, and when we know the property is and what we are assuming tax rates will be, little calculations on a whole variety of tax rates to have laid out for you to show you what the impact is going to be. That's why I think you're talking about a penny half in this fiscal year impact.
We're going to also actively oversee the surplus department by fund for a fund for the team also.
I seriously doubt it. And the reason I doubt it is because I've scrubbed the budget to death in the last 2 months. There's not a lot of fat in any department budget. Now, I'm not saying there isn't some, and those budgets have been scrubbed even harder. Budget requests going forward, many of them will see decreases over what was funded this year, but not because there was so much excess issue, because we changed the program, or we stopped doing different things, or added a different efficiency basis. There will be some excesses in our budget, and I'm not preaching doom and gloom like all of a sudden the sky fell, and we've got no money left. This is reasonably a pretty good fiscal year in the relative scheme of things. It's this kind of stuff that makes it a less good fiscal year.
Especially compared to the federal government.
We're listening.
I appreciate the work on the information.
Well, Mr. Moroder, Mr. Rawls, are platinum. And I can tell you, from both Mrs. Lenker and Mr. Schitter, the relationship between the County Administrator's Office, Director of Finance, Commissioner of Revenue, and the Commissioner's Office is very tight. And we are looking over each other's shoulder on purpose. That's really never happened before, but in this case, we wouldn't have known if it would work with Mrs. Bullock and Mr. Dahl. Thank you very much.
Okay. Do we have any other interest in the business?
I have good things. Okay. As you know, let me clear my mouth.
Yes, ma'am.
As you know, I've been on the job for many years. And you know, they take care of health. Their motto is to be healthy and to live long. Today, you may have seen on the television where they broke ground for a PACE program. It's a program of all-inclusive care for the elderly. I know I first was getting, having elderly and getting up there in age. This was a program that I was very interested in because I had a cousin in Lynchburg who had an elderly mother who went through this program. And asked if you've ever cared for a person, an elderly person, with health problems, and you have to take them over to the eye doctor and then take them over to this place, and that place, and the other. It wears them out as well as the caregiver. This program is to help the elderly stay at home and prevent them from having to go to a nursing home. And they get all of their care, the comprehensive care. So if I want to stay in my house and I'm having health problems, I will have a team of people to work with my family. And they will be there if I need, daycare, they provide daycare for me. I need to go somewhere, they will do that for me. So today they broke ground on a building, and they will be working at the University of Virginia. And they will also be putting in assisted living places where people can live close by this center so they can stay in their residence and can be cared for. This program is not only just in Virginia, it's all over. And I think it's really good news because we have conversations with people who are elderly people that this is going to be good news for us, our elderly people, who don't have a green and delta and etc. Also, I was thinking about there would be the opportunity for satellites to go out into areas. Maybe through that county may have a paid satellite at Science Park or somewhere where they can service, have all of the medical facilities there to service blues and corn and what have you. So we're just going to watch that and see how it turns over. And I will be talking with our city center people and trying to get the news out as we go along. I think that all of us serve on some kind of board of commission, and we need to sometimes bring back the information of what we're doing on those boards of commission so that we're always know half the information about them. Some things that kind of caught us all gone, and if we are going to help nonprofits or if we're going to help as citizens in the county, we need to be aware of what's available and have information about it. So that is what I want to hear. If you all do, we can get the case of it.
And I'll ask one question too, because we're meeting Mr. Smith and I meet the job again next week
after.
Yeah, and I told the same doctor to keep the case by the case and everything that it covers so that we want to have that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's move
any other items of new business? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move into the second round of public comment. Again, please remember to keep your comments to the board on topics and within 5 minutes.
Motion made by Mr. Baker, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?